All right. A lot of folks here today. Appreciate y'all founding this church for this many folks to be able to meet. Choir's going to bring a song about the value of one.
Thank you so much, Petonios. Thank you so much. Well, I was thinking about what to say today, and we've been working through the book of Mark, but I thought it appropriate that we start somewhere else today. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, starting in verse 1. First Chronicles chapter 22 and starting in verse 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he sent masons to who wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass abundance without weight, or cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender. A house is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent." What a word. "Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore make the preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for everything that's already been said and been sung. And Lord, we just give you praise in these last moments, Lord, as we look to your word. I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear. God, that we would not focus on what's to come after, Lord, but in these next moments, God, help us to hear exactly what your word, what your spirit is saying to us today. I pray, Father, if there be one in this room who does not know Jesus Christ, a personal Savior, Father, would you draw that person to yourself before it is too late, and help us as saints be thankful and appreciative of all you've done for us and all you can do by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts. Even after all the bad things that he'd done, and he'd done some bad things, and we've talked about that in the past, he was still a man after God's own heart. I believe God looks at all the rounds. He not just looks at some of the bad things. We definitely, there's discipline for bad things, but he looks at the whole being. And David, young shepherd boy, there taking care of his father's flock, was obedient. He sought God. He was like a heart that panted after God, like a heart pants after water. He thirsted after God in a dry and thirsty land. He thirsted after God. And oh, that our desire, every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ, would be to thirst after God, to want to know God and love God and desire God and spend time with God and to walk in his ways. And David was coming towards the end of his life. And David had lived in a palatial palace and place. But at the end of his life, he wanted a place for God. For God had not allowed David, because David was a man of war. He was a bloody man. He had fought many battles against the Philistines and other kingdoms. God didn't allow David to build himself a house. It was going to fall under his son, Solomon, because Solomon was going to be a king of peace. But before David died, he wanted to do something for his son. He wanted to prepare the way for his son. He wanted to supply the building materials, the things that he would need for his son was young and tender in age. He wanted to supply those things for him, and he did. Like Solomon and all those followed after him, today we get to enjoy the benefit of all those who came before us. Those who came before us planted trees that now we get to sit under. David didn't get to enjoy the temple very long, but his son Solomon and those who followed Solomon did. Today we can focus on the past and thank God yesterday and the day we have looked at the past. But by the grace of God, we must not only focus on the past and be thankful and grateful for what God has taught us in the past, we must look to the future and what God would have us do in the future. For if the Lord tarries, I pray North Gainesville Baptist Church will be here and we will celebrate our 60th anniversary. But for that to happen, by the grace of God, we who are members here, and may the old pray that be more members here, and more folks saved, and more folks baptized, and more folks added to the church. But for us to continue, we must continue to do a few things. And what are those few things this morning? First of all, we must continue to stand on the Word of God. John Locke said, "The Bible is one of the greatest blessings bestowed upon by God on the children of men. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture for its matter. It is all pure. We must first believe that God primarily reveals himself and his will for us through his word. Yes, God reveals himself through nature. Yes, God reveals himself through circumstances. Yes, God reveals himself through people. But primarily, God reveals himself, not through dreams or visions, but through his word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God's Son is the Word, and we have the Word of God for us today. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. These are not merely the words of men, but these are the very words of God to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thirdly, we believe the Bible has been preserved by God. For why would God give us an inspired word if he did not preserve it? It is preserved. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generation forever. Fourth, we believe the Bible is indestructible. It's indestructible. Verily I say unto you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall not no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The jot and the tittle was the smallest letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So just the smallest parts, even those smallest parts would not pass away. You see, Hitler tried to destroy it. And Voltaire, the philosopher, French philosopher, tried to destroy it. Atheists and evolutionists and people who hate God tried to destroy it. But this book cannot be destroyed because it is forever settled in heaven. And I pray, God, it be not only settled in heaven, it be settled in our hearts. Fifth, we believe this book is reliable. We believe this book is reliable. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I was reading this from this book called Science Speaks. Author Peter Stoner said, if just 8 prophecies regarding Christ are true, the probability will be 10 to the 17th power. You understand what that means? That means 10 with 17 zeros after that. That's a lot. That's a big number. That's past what this boy from Taylor, South Carolina can fathom. So to put it in kind of more pictorial terms, because men are sight oriented, for all you ladies who and all you other folks who want to understand that. What does that mean? Well, you mark a silver dollar. And you cover the state of Texas with 2 feet high of silver dollars. And you put that marked silver dollar in the midst of the state of Texas, and you go through and wash that all around, and you just scramble it all up. The probability of just 8 prophecies coming true about Jesus Christ is a probability that you cover all of Texas 2 feet high in silver dollars and mark just one of those marked silver dollars is finding that mark, silver dollar. That's the probability. I mean, talking about prophecies like Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus would die on the cross. Jesus would be our Messiah. And there's so many more prophecies about Jesus than just 8. Dear friends, we have a book that's reliable. We have a book that's preserved. We have a book that's indestructible. We have a book that's preserved. We must, as a church, continue to stand on this book. Not only that, we must continue to share the Word of God. We must continue to share the Word of God with other people. We must stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bob Jones Sr. said, it takes evangelistic unction to make orthodoxy function. He said, what in the world did you say? I say it again. It takes evangelistic unction to make orthodoxy function. Knowing this book and what the Bible teaches, that's orthodoxy. This is truth. This is doctrine. But dear friends, it would do these folks outside no good if this is true, but they don't know it. You see, friends, you could say all day long, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. But if you don't go to the doctor, what good is it saying to yourself, I'm sick? Right? We have the truth. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we must share it with other people. We must share it with other people. For Jesus said, and I quoted that earlier today, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It's going is an initial step. Going is the initial step. Psalms 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Dear friend, this book is precious seed. And the Bible promises if we go forth bearing this seed, we will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They will not come unless they're sought. They will not grow unless they're taught. But we can do, may we continue sharing the word of God. Going is the initial step, but going forth is the instructed step. Jesus said, go ye. You can't spell gospel without the word, the letters G-O. We have to go. Luke 14, 23, the Lord said to the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. John 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Thank God for the missionaries we have. They're going, these 40 missionaries are going all over the world to share the gospel. But dear friend, as that sign says, above that door as you walk out, when you walk out that door, you're going into the mission field. That restaurant you go to, that shoe shop, ladies, where you buy all those shoes, that Bass Pro Shop, man, where you buy your guns and knives or whatever things you go, that's the place where we should share the gospel. Because there's people here, there's people there that are dying and going to a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. The greatest reality today is that people are dying and going to hell today. Every second, someone is dying and going to hell today. And friends, we must tell them before it's too late. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody brought you aside? Like we heard that great testimony from Brother Mark, how he was a student at the University of Florida and heard about a church they couldn't hardly find, but he found it. And he came and got saved, and now he's preaching. As I'm preaching right now, he's preaching a couple hours down the road in Tampa. All because there was a church, North Gainesville Baptist Church, and folks that loved him and cared enough about him to share the gospel with him. You see, I love what Curtis Hudson said. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. Either you're obeying God and sharing the gospel, or you're disobeying God and not sharing the gospel. There is nothing in between that. Either we are personally or we're not. Are we? Going forth is the initial step. Going is the instructive step. Being going forth is an indiscriminate group of people. We're going to all people. All people. I love what Brother Tiny said the other day. He said he wanted to come up with a shirt saying, Jesus said, all lives matter. All lives matter. Didn't we sing that song when we were a kid? Red or yellow, black or white, they were precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. We sang that song then. Let's sing that song today. Because it's true. It's true. Jesus went to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus ministered to the little children and forbid them not. Jesus went to that short little guy named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And they didn't like tax collectors then. And we don't like tax collectors now. But they need Jesus too. Jesus' message was a message of forgiveness and repentance for everyone. The Bible says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. One of the favorite songs we have here at the church is Bringing in the Sheaves. How many of you remember that song, Bringing in the Sheaves? I was reading about the hymn history of that book. A guy named Morgan wrote Hymn History's book. And I was reading about that. It was written by a guy named Evangelist Noel Shaw. And he was on a train going through Texas with a pastor named Pastor Malloy. And Pastor Malloy was talking to the evangelist about his experiences and sharing the gospel, and the evangelist was telling about how God had been using him and how he'd been preaching, and God was seeing, and folks were seeing people saved, and it's just a wonderful thing how blessed it was. And as soon as they were going a little piece through Texas, the rail cart got off just a little bit and began to go down to an embankment. And Evangelist Knowles grabbed Pastor Malloy and pulled him out of the way and saved his life. And in saving his life, Evangelist Knowles went down to the embankment into the water and died. He gave his life for somebody else so that he could live. And after 19 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Evangelist Knowles, it said, won over 11,000 people to Jesus Christ. He gave his life for another person because he believed in Jesus Christ, who gave his life for everyone. I want to tell somebody, everybody, about a Jesus who loves everyone. Do you know Jesus by the grace of God? Are you telling others about Jesus? We must stand, we continue to stand on the Word of God. We must continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, we must continue to stick to the biblical traditions that we have inherited. We must continue to stick to the biblical traditions that we have inherited. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul to Timotheus, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Almost 2 years ago, you folks voted me as a pastor of North Gainesville Baptist Church. That's a sacred trust. I take that trust from Pastor Bales. I take that trust from Pastor Chandler. I take that trust from Pastor Manning. And the things that they did by the grace of God, the things that they taught, those are things we got to continue doing. Continue preaching from this old King James Bible. We're going to continue doing that. You say, "Preacher, would you ever quit using the King James Bible?" Yes, I would. When they pried out of my cold, dead hands. We're going to keep using this book, folks. We're keeping using this book. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away." We believe this is the word of God for us as English-speaking people for us today. And we're going to stand on it and keep preaching it and keep teaching it and keep memorizing, keep meditating on it by the grace of God. We need to continue singing these old hymns of the faith. Keep singing these old hymns of the faith, like "Amazing Grace" and "How Great Thou Art" and "Blessed Assurance" and "Nearer My God to Thee." Because the Bible says in Psalm verse 40, verse 3, "And he put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." We're instructed, like Paul instructed the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, verse 19, "Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." It's hard to do that listening to AC/DC. Hard to do that. Dear friends, we have to continue using this good old book. Continue singing hymns of the faith. Continue holding to the traditions that have been taught to us. Let's continue prayer meetings. Amen. Let's continue Sunday school, Phoebe Ladies Fellowship, Bible clubs, vacation Bible schools, Bible studies for men and women, going on spiritual retreats, going to ladies spiritual retreats. That's ladies. Keeping sending kids to camp, sending missionaries to the foreign field. And by the grace of God, continuing that and increasing that. Keep tithing. Keep faith promise. Continuing having revivals and missions conferences and special days. Keep doing, by the grace of God, what's got us here for 30 years. May we keep doing it for another 30 years. but we keep doing it. You say, preacher, why? Why keep doing these same old things? Why keep doing these same old things? Why? Because of those who've gone before us. Those who've gone before us. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We have to continue doing the things that we were been taught to do for those who've gone before us. For Brother Vern's sake, for Pastor Manning's sake, for all those who gave and shed their blood and paid their tithes and loved Jesus and loved the gospel and loved the church and are no longer with us, but in that great audience in the air, for their sake, we must continue. We must continue. But not only for their sake, for Jesus' sake. For His sake. It says in verse 2, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not just for those who've gone before us, but for His sake, for Jesus' sake, who died for our sins and wants us to be faithful, because He was faithful and He always did the will of the Father and He completed the task that was laid before Him. May we end well. May we finish the task that God has placed on this church to continue preaching the Word of God, to continue disciple other folks, to continue see people baptized, to continue going out there and knocking on doors, to continue to go out to Florida University and passing out tracts, to continue to go to the nursing homes, to continue sending out missionaries, to continue. For those who've gone before us, for the sake of Jesus, and thirdly and finally this morning, for the next generation. For the next generation who will come after us. Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Living here almost 20 years in August, I don't know a whole lot, but I know on a hot day like this, you want to find some shade. When you're parking at Sunny's or any other place, the first thing you do is maybe not find the closest place to the door, but the place that has the best shade. Because it will be a different difference when you walk out of there 45 minutes later. I promise you that. What do these trees do? They provide shade. On a hot day, when you're working outside, get you some water and sit under a cool shade tree. And by the grace of God, North Gainesville Baptist Church will be a tree planted by rivers of water. Rivers of water. That when other boys and girls are looking to hear the Word of God, they can sit under this tree. Where people are designed to know about God a little more, they can sit under this tree. Where people are wondering, is there hope in America? They can sit under this tree. If people wonder, does God still love them? They can sit under this tree. This tree, by the grace of God, will still be here. Although the world has gone crazier and it's going to get crazier, may we stand like a tree planted by rivers of water, saying, we have the truth. And there is hope in Jesus Christ alone. We're continuing to plant trees where other people can sit under. And dear friends, members of North Gainesville Baptist Church, I hope you will join me in my desire to continue. Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for these people who came this morning. Lord, in our great prayer, if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know Jesus Christ, they will recognize their need to know Christ, and not only know Him, but to accept Him. With head bowed and eyes closed, maybe someone in this room say, brother, I've heard you talking, but I don't know about God. I don't know Jesus. I don't know anything about what it means to die and go to heaven or hell. I really don't know anything, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm not sure of it. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all here? Say, preacher, I don't know about heaven or hell. I'm not sure if I died, go to where I would go, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest? I don't know, but I'd like to know. I don't know, but I'd like to know. Amen.